by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Eidelman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Eidelman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Eidelman Unplugged. My name is Luke Duncan and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Eidelman. Pastor, welcome.
Welcome. It's good to be here and this will be a very interesting topic, I think.
Yeah, we asked the viewers for their patience today because we're both kind of getting over a little cold that's going around. So if we sound a little slow or congested, be patient with us.
Those in the Name It, Claim It group say, don't say that.
Right.
Don't say you don't have a cold.
I don't know. Maybe we're
not sick.
Maybe we just don't have enough faith
think
to be
positive,
healed or something.
You know, that should be a topic someday.
Maybe a future topic.
Yeah.
There we go.
Claim it. And faith is important, but yeah, that's a whole nother topic.
But we're not going to get too far into that well today. So on this particular episode, we're asking a pretty simple question. How do we as Christians, and Pastor, you specifically, given your calling and the role that you occupy, how do we deal and how do you deal with criticism?
Wow. Well, there's so many people listening that are in different scenarios, you know, pastors, of course, Christian leaders. When you're on the front lines more so, you're going to get a lot more, you know, criticism. So there's not a day that goes by that I don't receive a lot of criticism. If I were to look at it all, I usually don't look at 99.9% of it because it's kind of pointless. But I think the question is, how do you handle criticism in this day and age as a Christian, as a believer? So I guess I can share from my perspective, the biblical perspective, then people can kind of put that into their own, you know, framework, their own lifestyle. But a couple things. I know that the truth is going to offend, but I want to make sure my attitude doesn't offend. And there was a season in my life, and it's still difficult now. I mean, who likes constructive criticism? But it does make you better. You know, I remember I used to, I'm going to open up a lot on this one probably and share a lot of transparency here, but I used to go like this, you know, make that noise every, my lips would kind of, I'm speaking and my wife told me about it and I'm like, okay, I'll try to work on that. And then it's, you know, too much. Okay. I'll try to work on that. And so I think it's, here's how I handle it. You have to be open for it. But it has to be from someone who you know is trying to help, because this is how you will grow and mature in the Christian faith. Those who are solid and mature in the faith have learned to change and learn to get rid of pride and make, quite a few changes in their life. I'll give you a few scenarios or a few actually things that really happened. About 3 months, oh no, 3 months, 3 to 4 years ago, I was preaching on homosexuality. And there was a point in the sermon, I remember it, where I got a little bold, you know, a little, you know, because I'm tired of the agenda. We love people caught in the lifestyle, but the agenda that they're pushing on the schools and on our kids, that's where I get fired up. And a girl, she must have been no more than 17, came up and said, you know, if a gay person was sitting here today, that would have kind of probably hurt their feelings the way you came across. And I was like, oh, how was that? And I'm like, okay, I didn't mean it that way, but I can see where you're coming from, you know, and then learn to be more, you know, loving in that area. And then recently, I think I shared this in one of the sermons. My wife's, she said, hey, I know, you know, I haven't said anything negative in a while, but you seem to be, you know, bashing pastors a lot. And I said, okay, that's a good point. I need to work. And she was surprised. I didn't even argue. I didn't say about this. I mean, the reason is because I'm getting really fed up with the pulpits being quiet, the pulpits being silent as we're going to hell in a handbasket. Well, we don't talk about political things. Really, politics isn't a separate issue. It's how we govern and lead our lives. So it affects everything, murdering children and the immigration crisis and the sanctity of marriage. And so I do get really discouraged with the majority of the pulpits, but I can't let that come out as much as I have been. So that, and then also another lady, I mean, her email was nice and gracious. I think that's the key. You know, if you have emails that are nice and gracious, that helps. And she goes, but you know, it's hard to listen sometimes because you use the Lord's name in vain. And I never do. So I didn't know what really she's talking about. But like when I say, oh my God, help us, you know, to some people that's taking the Lord's, I mean, I thought taking the Lord's name in vain based on the Old Testament, you know, the Ten Commandments and it's that disdain for God. It's that cursing God. It's that. So I don't think it's taking the name, the Lord's name in vain. We're saying, oh my God, help us. Oh my God, we need you. But then if you're kind of kidding around with that OMG, you know, oh my God, you know, I think you got to learn from it. So I'm trying to work on that a little bit. I was raised in construction. I was raised for 40 years and in the secular world before I pastored. So you have a lot of that slang, you know, or that improper etiquette. So that was another good one that I can work on. So these people, you know, care for the, but then some things you just have to, you know, you just, there's nothing, there's no love or grace in their words. So for the average person listening, does this person care about you? Is it good constructive criticism? Will it help you grow in your faith? And the best thing is to hold your tongue and say, okay, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And not say, but this is why I do it. Or, yeah, but this, or, you know, you just take that constructive criticism. And I've got people, from, you know, I touch base sometimes with, James Robinson or Robinson and Michael, you know, Dr. Michael Brown, Jim Garlow, just Al Whittinghill and a lot of these guys lovingly challenge me in some areas, you know, hey, you know, you might want to rethink this or you need to come across, you know, so I've got a lot of chiseling going on, a lot of iron. I don't think people realize that. They probably think, oh, you're just, all the pastors are just arrogant enough. You're open for constructive criticism, you know. So these men, you know, speaking to my life. One example is Al Whittinghill. When I did that video on John MacArthur, how he, I believe, really just demeaned Beth Moore, even though I don't agree with some of the stuff she does. But Al said, man, you're too generous in that clip. You should have really been more bold and not tore into it, but just confronted that whole situation. I'm like, oh, that's a good point, you know? And so, you know, you're trying to learn and grow from all this. And then there's members of the congregation, you know, hey, that sermon, you know, if that sermon really made me feel this way, a lot of times I know it's probably because they're convicted. So there's not too much to learn, but if I'm coming across mean-spirited, if I misuse a scripture, and that's why it's hard for me too with dyslexia, I will put the wrong word in a sentence and I have to have three different editors look at things. And so those things are difficulties with my mind. And, so I'm open, like, okay, I miss that verse and I miss, you know, but some people are so mean spirited. They're so, you know, it's a modern day Pharisee. But that, I think that would kind of answer their question. You can chime in a little bit, but it's to be open for it. But also who's it coming from? So again, 99% of the constructive criticism, I don't even consider. I don't know these people. It's not something that I even need to consider because those closest to me, those who know me the best, they know my heart, they will be able to offer that construct. And isn't that how we grow? I mean, can you imagine the person who isn't open for constructive criticism? Because we don't see our blind spots. And you can really develop into a very mature, a fine-tuned weapon in God's arsenal if you're open to the feedback of others.
Yeah, absolutely. I had one time where I was giving a talk at a parachurch function and I went in there and it was the last day of the event and I was very passionate and there was a lot of spiritual warfare that had gone on around the group of guys that was mm-hmm. at that particular retreat and I'm sure you agree with me. There's some times where you walk into a room and you're not speaking so much to the people, but you're speaking against the powers that are trying to dissuade people.
Right.
So I kind of went in there and I gave a very impassioned talk around that. But I remember, and a lot of the guys were like, yeah, rah, rah, after it was done. But then I had a brother that came up to me who is clergy. And he looked at me and he said, Luke, I love you, but I didn't hear your love for them in what you said.
Oh, yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
And that was a little bit of a gut check for me. Now, granted, I had spent about the previous 45 minutes weeping while I was singing Amazing Grace over it. And so I very much did, but I can understand what he said in the passion and in the zeal that came out, that how that could have been lost. But that was the thing where I was like, okay, you know, yeah, I have to accept that a brother, especially a senior brother, is coming to me and he's conveying a meaningful critique for we. And that's, I think, an important thing for people to remember is that criticism can be meaningful or it cannot be meaningful. And when it's not meaningful, you have to let the words of Jesus to turn your other cheek really apply and just let it bounce because I think in those instances, and even with meaningful criticism too, there is a little bit of an application of the theology of suffering, sharing in the sufferings of Christ and things like that.
Just a little bit
because not that we could critique Christ in any way, but we can kind of share in the sufferings and be made more like him through criticism.
Part of that is kind of embracing
when we could have done, not necessarily when we were wrong, but we could have done it better.
Like faith for the wounds of a friend.
Exactly. You know, yeah. And so I think you just have to find that demarcation line where criticism is meaningful versus when it's not. Usually it's meaningful if, like you said, it's coming from somebody that knows you, that knows your heart, that desires to see you grow in Christ. And also those words will be seasoned with love.
Yeah.
Some people express love a little differently, so they may, that doesn't necessarily mean everybody's going to articulate that love the same way. But if you have a relationship with the person that is offering you criticism to see you grow, you should be able to find that somewhere in there versus the somebody that just wants to exalt themselves and trying to put you down.
Yeah.
And with those people, you just, I mean, unless the Lord really speaks in your heart and says, okay, time to teach this person. Unless 99% of the time, the Lord's not going to do that. Based off my experience, turn the cheek and just, okay. You know, I'm accepting whatever value may be present in that, and the rest of it, I'm not going to get, I'm going to suffer a little bit in any frustrations that I have, and I'm gonna let the Lord have that. And I'm going to let that show me what it looks like to, take thoughts captive and learn to live more Christ-like in that way.
And like you said too, you don't immediately have to take someone's advice and say, oh, I must have not preached that with love, because you also have to put it through the filter of discernment. If you were weeping, I mean, some of my most powerful sermons, I've been broken over it. I've been full of love, but it comes across like John the Baptist. It comes across like Isaiah and Jesus and, you know, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? And so, yeah, some of that, I don't take every I would be a mess if I took every constructive criticism, because with the type of sermons I preach, people, I mean, there's a saying around our valley, you know, my mother-in-law says it, my wife, well, with Shane's sermons, you either love them or you hate them. And so I run to people like, oh, you're too angry. And I'm like, I'm actually not angry preaching. Sometimes I do get that way, but I think they confuse boldness with arrogance. I think they confuse boldness and sternness and crying out for God with anger. And there's a thing, such thing as righteous indignation. So you got to really run it through the filter. I'll give you one example. A lady who does a lot of our editing, she mentioned, hey, Shane, as I'm editing your sermons and different things, you mentioned the 6 a.m. worship service a lot. I think I have that sensing that you're kind of pushing that on the people too much. And I emailed her back, oh yeah, that's a good thought, you know, thank you. And she was surprised at my answer. She thought I'd be upset. You know, I'm like, no, that's probably a good point. So then I kind of told some people that, and other people came up to me and said the opposite. They're like, no, man, we need to be encouraged. We need you to push us in that. I'm like, well, gosh, what do I do with that? Oh, I say gosh again, right there. So what am I supposed to do with that? So I think her point was good, and I was probably doing that too much. But at the same time, you know, people do need to be encouraged. So finding that balance. So you learn from it, you grow. One of the biggest constructive criticisms I received, I shared in a sermon, is my daughter came up to me and she said, Dad, I see you praying with everyone else, but you never pray with me. And that about broke me. I mean, that was like, wow. But that changed the trajectory of my prayer focus and making more time with them at home and praying with them. And so that hurt. But it really changed my heart. Here's the big deal. Here's why this is a big deal. If people don't change, they're not going to grow. So they're going to keep hurting people and hurting. I know people right now, I could tell them, you are prideful, you are arrogant, you're angry, and you've got to repent or that's going to kill you. And they'll just stay prideful and angry and resentful, and they'll never change. And it's sad. So pride is at the heart of all this, right? You know that. I mean, pride is ugly. It's thinking, we know more than we should. And pride actually, knowledge puffs up. So you see this a lot in theology students, unfortunately. The more knowledge we get, the more Greek we learn, the more this, if we're not careful, that knowledge of who God is can really elevate us. And then we're not open for constructive criticism. Some of my best criticism has come from that 17-year-old girl, or it came from my daughter. Why can't kids speak to us? Why can't we listen to kids and teenagers and learn from them? So I think just to be open, to be humble, not get bent out of shape with it. I don't let criticism direct me. I don't let it knock me off course, because one thing, I know what God's called me to do. But within that, I've got to stay open and teachable and humble. The humble, he teaches his way, but he'll resist the proud.
Yeah, I agree. And you alluded to 2 points that I think are important. And one of them is that nobody except you and the Lord really knows the full context of whatever is being talked about or alluded to. And so sometimes you're right. Somebody may offer a criticism, but it only exists from their limited vantage point. And so in that particular instance, again, you take it in stride, you turn the other cheek, you allow that person the benefit of not having infinite omniscience, you know, and all this stuff. And then the other part too is, that God has a purpose in all of those things, you know, and it might be that, like I say, we often like, you know, for our listeners, I gave a message on suffering a couple months ago, but in that, I made allusion to, I'm drawing a rough parallel here. If sometimes we have a tendency to receive criticism as if we've done something wrong, and we can take criticism as a punishment. Right.
Put that sermon in the description.
I'll leave it in the description of this. If you're watching it on YouTube, you can go down there and check it out below. It's called The Sovereign God of Suffering. But in that sermon, I made reference to, we often view suffering as a punishment, but biblically, suffering is often not a punishment, and it exists for its own end to bring us into the mold of Christ. And so, criticism can come into our life, not necessarily because we have done something wrong, but just simply as an agent of growth. And I think that that's important to remember too, that if you receive criticism, it is not necessarily that you have done something wrong, but it's just like a child growing, you know. It's just an agent by which the Lord is using to usher in your own growth as a Christian. And I think if you keep that perspective, it's almost something, it can almost be something to look forward to.
It is. I look forward to some good constructive criticism.
Yeah. So I think if you keep those things in mind, it disarms your own reaction against, like, bro, I got to put up my defenses and stuff. And it's like, no, you don't. It doesn't have to.
Yeah, learn from it. Now, there's a guy I run into quite often, and he's been trying to change my view on the age of the earth for a couple years, you know, whether it's dropping off books, whether it's dropping off this. And both these guys have developed a very critical heart, and I've called them on it. I'm done. Not being Mr. Nice Guy sometimes. So there comes a point where you're like, hey, I've told you a couple different times, you keep pushing this. I sense a lot of arrogance, you know, and you do, I think, be able to stand up for that if it's wrong. But, you know, you got to know that it's a consistent pattern, take it to prayer. And so I think that will generally answer the questions for these people. Don't go out of your way to find constructive criticism unless you want to ask, you know, your spouse, hey, how am I doing in this area? But be open and watch the spiritual growth that will take place once you humble yourself, get rid of excuses. And if you're the type of person, when somebody tries to, is your spouse afraid to critique you? Are friends afraid to bring up anything because you're going to make excuses or you're going to defend yourself? I would encourage you to really rethink that, because you're probably stagnant spiritually. You're not growing spiritually unless you're open. So hope that helps.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for listening to this episode of Idleman Unplugged. If you enjoyed what you heard on the podcast today, please shoot us an email with your topics and ideas for what you would like to hear on a future episode of Idleman Unplugged. You can visit us at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com and let us know your thoughts about what you would like to hear on the podcast. Again, my name is Luke Duncan, and I'm your host here with Pastor Shane Idleman. Thank you for listening to this episode of Idleman Unplugged.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com. El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality in Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.